Proverbs 4. We're going to be talking about today gaining complete victory by taking hold of prophetic instructions. Gaining complete victory by taking hold of prophetic instructions. You're going to miss so much in this life running around looking for a prophet and ignoring prophetic instructions that you're hearing all the time. You're gonna be so disappointed, because oftentimes God is speaking to us, and if don't nobody hit you with no "my people, my people, my people," you ain't listening. And God be talking to you the whole time. And based off who you listening to, you're going to win and lose in life. Based off who you listening to, you're going to win or lose. Based off who you listening to changes how you listen and become attentive when you're around like certain people. Because when you learn their spirit, you should know when they not playing now. You should know when they, something about how they articulate or minister at a certain point, it don't sound the same when you was playing Monopoly. You shouldn't talk. When you're around certain people, you're not ministering to everybody. You're waiting on them to minister to you, so you don't dominate the conversation. You sit there uncomfortably sometimes until God is willing and ready to speak through them to you. But it ain't like we have in dialogue. And so the writer says in Proverbs 4:13, he says, "Take fast hold of instructions. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." Father, we thank you right now, God, for your written word. Ask that you would think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I ask for utterance. I ask for the anointing. I ask that you would do only what you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hand, and you can have a seat, please. Gaining complete victory. You ain't won, really, until you annihilate things that have been your sore, that's been your problem in life. Because you give it an opportunity to resurface again. You can give certain things the opportunity to resurface again. So, like, let's just use marriage, for instance. A lot of times, mother, people may get into it about whatever in their homes, and they may have stopped talking. For whatever reason, it goes so long that that spirit lifts in the house and it becomes calm again, and they start talking. Not about what got them to that place. They just sweep it under the rug. And because they didn't deal with it to the point of annihilation, it keeps resurfacing again. And there's some things in your life that you just don't play around with. Do you know why some people, they can't figure out why they cannot really become one in their relationship? because in their mind, they still have options that if this don't work out, I'll just get me somebody else. And they won't annihilate that spirit, and therefore they cannot become one with the person that's really theirs. They think they got options. I want to tell somebody today, you living in a world when God give you something, you better keep it because you ain't got as many options as you think. You ain't got as many options as you think. And it's amazing, don't know why I'm going this way, but it's amazing the people that are interested in you when you married suddenly don't have no interest in you when you divorced. Because the whole time they were being led to you by a demonic spirit designed to mess up your marriage, and when the work was done, they don't need you no more. Say, keep what you got. So you want to annihilate certain spirits that come to attack you, and you do it oftentimes by obeying and taking hold of prophetic instructions. So like a lot of times you'll find here that I don't hit people many cases with my people, or something elaborate. I may just tell you. And that is it. Oftentimes, I don't even go behind people to check. If they did it, the proof will speak. I don't run behind them. I don't ask that you do. Because the onus is on the hearer, not the speaker as much as it is the hearer. And we got to get in the mindset of knowing when God, so there are things that we started this year off of that I'm going to get into today, is that oftentimes prophetic words, prophetic instructions are attached to prophetic words. Meaning, most of the time, there's something for you to do. The word is right, but the instructions going to bring the word to pass. But if you don't do the instructions, the word never happens for you. And the word was right. Our behavior wasn't consistent to pull in what God wanted us to have in that particular season. The NIT says it this way in Proverbs, same scripture, hold on to instructions. Do not let it go. Protect it. Because it is your life. It is your life. Sometimes your life or your well-being is dependent on the instructions that you follow. Or you could lose in life, Brother Sanders, based off the instructions that you reject. So these ain't just regular instructions. When a person is speaking for God, there is really a prophetic attachment to that word. And being that I'm up here every week, tell somebody, you probably should be listening. I remember COVID. Prophetess Jay gave all the church's words. And the word was, don't buy nothing new. Actually, I think she started before COVID. Don't buy nothing new. Don't make any, Mae Bishop started it, but then she continued it. Don't buy nothing new. Then COVID hit, bam. Do you know what he pointed out to me? Even for us, for the most part, we were in compliance, Sister Fabiana. I'm talking about co-pastor now, but not complete compliance. We weren't in complete compliance because we thought we had a need. Because it's amazing. We thought that the Escalade was going down. So to protect ourselves from walking, we bought that Durango. You remember that Durango that we bought, the other Durango? Had the little hail damage on it? Mm-hmm. The little gray one? I guarantee you every vehicle that was purchased during that time gave people problems. I'm talking about in our church. I'm talking about Colorado, Louisiana, and Georgia, because the prophetic instructions was what? Don't buy nothing new. That church, that truck didn't last no time. It only had like 60 or 70,000 miles on it. That church, that truck didn't last no time because we didn't obey the instructions. We did not follow the instructions completely. And when you don't follow instructions completely, what's happening? What's happening? You're leaving the door open for the devil to attack when you do something that God hasn't endorsed. And I guarantee you, almost every vehicle that was purchased during that time, people don't have them, or they done gave them so much problem, they don't even want the thing no more. They leave the keys in it at night, mother, so somebody can steal it. Say, obey the instructions you've been given. He says in the NLT, it says, take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them. Watch this. For they are the keys to life, or keys to change your life. They keys to life. Now, you would have to know, yeah, that's logos, but then there's something different about what he's talking about. These are really prophetic instructions that God give to people, that he used somebody to deliver to people. And the crazy thing about it is that oftentimes you can get a word that you don't like in the beginning because you don't see how it's going to work out for you. This seems easier. Why not do it this way? I'm already working on this. I need this. So we go with what we believe our mind is telling us, our soul is telling us, and then we reject that thing of the spirit. And the only thing that's going to last, the only thing that God is going to maintain is something that he starts in the spirit realm. Thy will be done on earth because it's already been started in the heavenlies. And that's the only thing he going to maintain is what he has started. So I try to tell people, Sister Keenan, when you get instructions from this church and you do them and they start working, the minute that you stop doing the instructions, you put what God started for your life in reverse. I had to tell somebody that. I said, the Lord gave you specific instructions on what not to do. And you did it. And when you did that, he opened up the floodgates over your life and your family's life. If you go against those, then what you're doing, you working in reverse. And the very same thing that's been your increase is now going to be your decrease. Because what you start in the realm of the spirit, you got to maintain it in the realm of the spirit. Not demonic spirit either. Meaning if you get it from God, you got to keep doing what God tell you to do to maintain it. We're talking about getting complete victory by taking hold of prophetic instructions. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, please. So you got to take hold of, you got to guard those instructions, and they help you work out your salvation. So salvation ain't simply just making it to heaven. It's supposed to save you out of perishing predicaments in the earth. Salvation is supposed to turn around broken marriages. It's supposed to solve poverty. It's supposed to help with sicknesses in our body. Salvation is supposed to get your soul delivered. Salvation does more than just get you into heaven. Once you get born again, salvation is to change your life in this life. And when it's not changing, what's happening is we're not taking hold of, or watch this, we're not guarding the instruction. Now, why is guarding instruction so important? Because the devil is clever how he get it from you. This is why you don't tell everybody your business. Sometimes things are going on, and because you haven't figured out how to not allow things that maybe be creating care or anxiety, you hadn't figured out how to keep it from showing on your face, people can come around you, brother, and then they'll start pressing you. They'll start pressing you. What's wrong? What's wrong? You can talk to me, but God didn't tell you to talk to nobody. You have a vision. You have a dream. That ain't for you to go run your mouth and ask somebody, what you think about this? And this is why he said you have to guard the instructions. You know, it behooves you that if God has gave you a billion-dollar business idea, that you don't run around the neighborhood sharing it with everybody. Because you're going to be working for them. Because they're going to take your idea. If people will do it, the devil will do it. Let's look at how the devil do it. In Matthew 13, verse number 18, he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Watch this. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and they understand it not, then cometh the wicked one. See, oftentimes what gets us is that we reject stuff that we don't understand. That's why I was saying the other day, why you got pastors if you ain't gonna listen to them? Just stay home and live safe. See how they work for you. I'm gonna tell you right now, it ain't gonna work out well. We reject instructions that we don't understand. Let me give you an example. Now, for me, I didn't know you was allowed to do that. I didn't know, you know, that when somebody told me something that was over me, that I could just say, I ain't gonna do it. I wasn't raised like that. See, that happens in the church because you let your kids tell you they ain't gonna do it. You grew up telling your parents, I ain't doing it. And they didn't slap you into next week. And then say, now get back here and we're gonna try this again. See how that went over? Because they're too precious to drive disobedience and craziness out of them while they're young by tapping them on the butt. Because that's abuse. If you don't correct them, the police gonna beat them. If you don't keep them straight with God, they're gonna function in disobedience and they're gonna try to shoot them or tase them. And ain't nobody in their right mind can just sit there and let you tase them for 5 or 10 minutes. So then they're going to try to fight back, and then they're going to assassinate them, and they ain't going to go to jail even if it's recorded. And all you had to do was drive some craziness out. So we reject stuff that we don't like that right there. You rejecting that because education, most secular schools are demonic. Their curriculum was not inspired by God in no way, form, or fashion. Most of these people who writing children's literature been divorced so many times, they kids on drugs, they kids are suicidal or have committed suicide, and you taking the instructions that they use on their child that committed suicide and working it on your child rather than just doing it the way the Bible tells you. Mm-hmm. To follow the instructions. He said, the wicked one catches away that which was sown in your heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heard the word and anon received with joy. That's what that means, receive with joy. It says, he hath, yet hath he no root in himself, but endured for a while. But when tribulation, persecution arises, why does it come? Are you looking up there? Why does tribulation and persecution come? Huh? Because you got a prophetic word somehow. You're working off of a word. Why am I going through something? Why don't you not worry about what you're going through and just complete the prophetic word that God gave you, and that'll get the devil off of you. If you complete that word, if you're attempting to complete that word, that places you in the will of God. You don't get destroyed in the will of God. You got to come out the will of God somehow. And once you step out, then he's going to persecute you. He's going to attack you, because you can be perfectly in the will of God and be getting attacked the whole time and don't feel nothing. Nothing's happening to you, and yet you being attacked the whole time. So watch this. He says, because of the word, say that, because of the word. He says, and by and by, underline that, he, or highlight it in your phone or whatever you're using, he is offended. Because I didn't start going through until I got this word. I didn't really have no problems until I joined that church. Why? Because that church is designed somehow to help deliver and save you. And you're running from a place that is supposed to be your covering while you're being delivered or blessed. Now, I'm going to show you in a second how he get that word from you. Just keep that in there. Remind me to go back to that. He says, and he that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world get them. So like last week we was full, this week is scatter corn. If people sick, that's one thing. If you're just preparing for the Super Bowl, the world in you. We have anniversaries. We have birthdays. I end it before, or it happens after I do the will of God. But I don't come out the will of God because that's the world. The world say, I can pause on what God's will is to do my will. God won't mind. It's just one day. How you know he don't mind? Did he give you permission? Did he tell you that? How do you know? Is it ever a time when my stuff is more important than God's stuff? Your stuff is more important than God's stuff. That's the world's thinking. That's how the world trains us. Who's in charge of the world? The devil is in charge of the world. God is in control. If God was in charge of the world would be ran differently. There wouldn't be no sickness. There wouldn't be no disease. There wouldn't be no poverty. There would be no rape. There would be no molestation. There would be no divorce. There would be no cancer. There would be none of that mess going on. There would be no poverty. And if he running the world, he's doing a horrible job. Because the Bible says that the devil is the prince of this world. That he's running this world, and people are, Christians are buying into what the devil is saying, and then they trying to live their life like God is in control of it. Ask somebody, who's in charge of you? If they say nobody, then the devil is. Ain't nobody in charge of me. Do you know how you get the word from some people? They be abused so much from their parents or out in some relationship. And it's not just, it ain't just about women that's getting abused. You got some ghetto women these days. And they be abusing the man. And he letting her win because his daddy raised him right. But her parents had her on autopilot. So they taught him not to hit a woman, but nobody taught her how to control her hands. And she feel like because she's a woman, she can do anything, and he's supposed to take it. And they prey on men that are born again because now you belong to the Lord. You're supposed to be better than that. You can't leave me. God hate divorce. Yeah, he hate divorce, and he hate abuse too. Keep your hands to yourself. Stop talking to that man like he your child or a dog. Keep your mouth off of him, and then you want him to bless you. And he gets that word from people when they've been abused because they say, ain't nobody ever going to be in charge of me no more. I ain't never going to yield to nobody no more. I ain't never going to submit to no man, no woman, no employer. You got to submit to an employer because you're not a business owner. And it's all because he got the word away from them because they were defending themselves because they had been hurt. I pray God heal every hurt person that you can get in the will of God, that you won't live wounded and violent and vile, that you can do what God called you to do and be a whole man and a whole woman. And that if you plan on marrying somebody, that you will make sure that you may not be 100, but that you as close to 100 that you can be, so that that person don't have to figure out all that mess. In Jesus' name, let's keep going. He said he received the word into good ground. This is the fourth type of ground. He that hears the word understands it, which also bears fruit, bringeth forth some 100, 60, 30-fold. So watch this. The devil is the master at taking words from people. He just showed you multiple ways. The wayside word fell on stony heart, meaning that you can't posture yourself against a word that you're hearing from God. The minute that you start functioning in disobedience, it starts to harden your heart. When Jesus says forgive somebody, it's not when you get ready. Because immediately when you don't do it, your heart starts turning hard instantly. So that word, it's a prophetic word, it's a right now word, it's a current word for your life, but it can't get in because you're too hard. Your heart is too hard for that. So that word, it's like if you drop a seed out there on the pavement. If I'm throwing it, it'll bounce on that concrete. It'll lay there, and it'll die. I wonder if people's prophetic words are lying on the ground dying because they heart too hard. They wouldn't yield to what God was saying. The other one, the cares of the world got them. God start blessing them. They start giving all their time, talent, attention unto the world until he took the word from them. Then he give you the other type. He said this one is because they started going through. They got offended, not with people. Most of the time, if people start going through tribulation or persecuted and they don't think they deserve it, they get an attitude with God. Why you got me in this? Why you doing that to me? Why we have to lose that? Why I got to do that? Why I got to be the bigger person? Because you saved. Why I got to? So they start questioning God, and the whole time, it ain't questioning him. They offended. They offended with God. Why my mama die? Why my daddy die? Why my baby die? Why my husband? And the whole time, they're not trying to get no answer. They got God on trial. And they're offended with God. And you're going to give an explanation why this had to happen. Why not you? Would you rather be somebody else? See, only selfish people wish that it wasn't me, that it was you. I don't want it to be me, because surely God ain't got enough in me that I can survive this trouble in my life. It ain't enough that he moved the Holy Ghost down in me and told me that he was going to be with me even to the ends of the earth. No, I still want it to be you. You say, God, heal my heart. So the devil, he takes away the words, the seed of the word that's sown in the hearts of the believers. It could have changed their life, but he'll use wicked people to seduce that word out of you. That's why you don't tell it to him. Or he'll try to persecute you until you let it go. Tell somebody, say, don't let your word go. Say, don't let your word go. Say, hang tight. God is about to give you victory. So how does the devil, most of the time, get us to let that word go? He tries to change the condition of your heart. He tries to change the condition of your heart, right? This is powerful. What he does to change the condition of your heart. Because when you read that parable, that whole parable in 13, it was never about the condition of the seed. Had nothing to do with the seed. It was about the soil. It was about the people that God was trying to plant it into. It was about you, the individual, the one who say, I'm not going to change, the one who can't get nothing to work because we won't acknowledge that my soil could have problems. Nothing grow here because ain't no nutrients in the ground. See, especially if stuff been planted there before, you don't keep planting corn. It strips the ground of all the nutrients. And a lot of time, we keep trying to plant the same thing. See, we're trying to get out of the dilemma, and we keep planting the same thing in the same soil and then expect it to come up. But we won't allow God to plant us someplace else sometime. And it be the soil that's the problem. It be the condition. Ask somebody, say, what's the condition of your heart? Wait for them. You might be able to help them. You might be. They ain't going to tell you. So it's really about a heart problem. Do you know what the Lord put in my heart? He said many folks are complaining about the word that they're receiving in their local churches these days, Sister Brooks. He says, and they are always, they get right out of church and get on the internet trying to find some new preacher. Somebody better than their pastor. Somebody that's going to scratch them and make them feel good. He says, they'll leave church thinking that they need more. And the whole time, there's nothing wrong with the word that they were hearing. Their soil is all messed up. That the condition of their heart is contaminated with all kind of filth, and it's hard that the word that they're hearing won't produce for them. But he says, this is your word right here. Get your heart right and the word will start working for you. You're mad with people. You're mad and blaming the pastor in the church that you're attending. And the whole time you sitting by people who getting the same word you got and they not complaining and yet they getting the results. And you are complaining about the same word that everybody else is receiving and getting the harvest. But you saying that I need more. No, you don't need more, babe. You need the condition of your heart to be renovated and changed and stripped of that filth. He said, you don't need a new word. In other words, your heart is messed up. If you'll get your heart changed, he said, breakthrough will happen for you. Say, breakthrough is getting ready to happen. In other words, when our heart's messed up, Jesus is the only person that can help us most of the time. It don't do no good to have a whole bunch of counsel. I'm not against counseling. When you already have instructions that you work in and you need more. But if your heart is jacked up, you can talk to anybody that you want to talk to. They're going to keep taking your money and you're going to keep having the same problems because it ain't about how much somebody talked to you. Your heart is messed up. And when your heart is messed up, you got to plead the blood. You got to plead the blood over your thinking. You got to ask God to wash you. You got to get in a place where you can get broken and say, it's me, God. It's not somebody else. I need you to work on me. I don't want to preach to nobody. I don't want to teach to nobody. I don't even want to see nobody. I just need you to help me. Then I'll be changed. Now, see, people don't want that. They want you to feel sorry for them and keep talking to them all the time. Or they think they're gonna stay in prayer all day. I'm not making fun of speaking in tongues. That is prayer, but ain't nothing really happening. Now, why wouldn't it work? Why wouldn't it work? You can go hours. Nothing happened. Why won't it happen? No, until you shut up and meditate, God ain't speaking to you. See, most of the time, our prayer is only one-sided. It's just you running your mouth like you do with other people, and you never shut up long enough to meditate. And when you start meditating and just sitting there quiet, Shazam, your answer come. God is talking now. God is talking now. God is ministering now. But you've been dominating the conversation for 20 years, speaking in tongues for 2 hours a day with no results. Say, but it's changing now. I understand how to get it in my heart. Until you can sit there still, you're not going to know that he God. Just sit there and just be quiet. Get up some mornings and keep your mouth closed and say, God, I need you to talk to me. And just sit there for an hour. And don't say, don't play no music. Don't cut no TV on. Don't listen to no preacher. Nothing. Just sit there and say, God, I need you to talk to me. And once your spirit is open, do you know, is this happening to anybody? Once your spirit is open, God will talk to you. There's no way you can be seeking God and not know what he wants you to do, and you're his child. Clap your hands real good for the Lord, real good. So, I went through this myself. That when people won't follow God's ordained instructions, when you the preacher, sometimes you think you the problem. Not all preachers, because some of them, ain't they harlots, they're not from God. They can care less if you ever get delivered. If you will settle for, if you'll be a dum-dum and just settle for a shout, they'll keep shouting you every week, and you never get nothing changed. You sick as a dog. You broke. You're on your way to a divorce court. Every other week, you're thinking about committing suicide. And they'll keep shouting you in between those thoughts, but you ain't changing. But when you got a shepherd's heart, when you see anything not growing and developing, you start questioning stuff. You should anyway. You should say, is something wrong? Am I in the wrong area? Did I say something that offended them so drastically? Did I get in the flesh? Do you know every time a person get up here, they ain't in the spirit 24? And you have to chew up the meat and spit out the bones. But sometimes we think because we keep chewing that that's a bone. No, sometimes meat is tough. You just got to chew it until you can break it up to where, watch this, it affects your understanding now. You can get the nutrients out of it. You can use it now. But you start thinking, hey, is something wrong with me? Because sometimes you tell people something and you know they understood you. I used to get upset and go off. Now I know I'm dealing with a different spirit, and it explains things about their life. So you know what to pray about. I know now, sister, I know now that I'm not going to ignore it because people think, well, he didn't say nothing this time. No, because I know you heard me the last time. Is this too much? I know they heard me the last time. So because now I know I'm looking at something that ain't necessarily God no more. And I got to trace it so I can help them erase it. I can't ignore it, but you still saying, how did they get here? What did, and so you still questioning, am I teaching the right things to the people? Am I giving them something that'll change their life? Say, this ain't no ordinary worship. Because it should push a person. It should convict a person. It should challenge a person to change. It should challenge people to grow up. I've never seen in my lifetime in church, you know, people just don't want to grow up. Do you know why? You know why, Sister Sanders? It's going to be much the same reason why people don't want to leave home once they get a certain age. They don't like responsibility. Preach Holy Ghost. They don't like being responsible. As long as I play the kid card, I'm not responsible for nothing. Me, even my behavior, you can't hold me accountable for my behavior. I'm a kid. Say, only in America. No, I'm serious. I've been to other countries. I've seen people in the military, and they 11. And they got other soldiers under them, and they kids. And we have a 30-year-old man, and he come into the army, and we treat him like he 8. Because people don't like responsibility. They like to play the kid card. I don't know no better. Nobody ever told me. Yeah, but you know where the library at? Are you kidding? Everything you need to know is on YouTube. Because people can't keep their mouth shut. They want to look like a hero. And everything somebody teach them, they want to put it out there and show they got it. Meaning you can learn a lot from a dummy sometime. They won't come to Christ, but they've mastered some other areas. You can still learn from them. Y'all ain't giving me no help. Y'all making me work hard today. I promise you. Say complete victory by taking hold of prophetic instructions. So watch this. There have been times that I have doubted myself as the messenger. That's all I am. I'm not your boss. I'm nobody's boss. I don't own people. That's why the shepherd has to sacrifice right out the gate. Because if he's not willing to sacrifice right out the gate, they'll start taking ownership of stuff that belong to God. They'll start taking credit for things that God is doing. But when you do this for a minute, you realize that if I take the credit, am I willing to take the blame if it don't go right? See, many of you like the credit, but you don't like to take the blame. You want everybody to praise you when it's right, but you don't want to be responsible for nothing that go wrong. You want to be the man in the house as long as everything is right because you like being celebrated. But if it go wrong, you don't want to take the blame for nothing. God still holds you responsible because that's your family. Tell somebody, if you're going to take the credit, take the blame. Say, if you're going to take the credit, be willing to take the blame. But if you will let God be the head, then God ain't going to take no blame because it's going to work out exactly like he said it was going to work out. And this is where we lose it. I was doubting. He said, because sometimes you can't understand why people can't get it. He said that the power of the message lies in the seed that you deliver. That's why most of the time, I'm just saying to tell the truth, that's why I try to stick with the word. Because the power is in the seed of the word. It's not in how good I preach. Is it the word of God? It's not how a person hum. Is it the word of God? It's not what you even think. Is it the word of God? If it's the word of God, it's going to turn out exactly how God said it's going to turn out. But he said to say this to somebody. He said, receive the word that you've been given. When you receive that word, he said, your heart going to change. That it'll make you brand new. It'll transform you into the very likeness and image of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is your helper. So Has anybody ever received a prophetic word and as soon as you got it, it seemed like all hell broke loose? Everything seemed to go the opposite direction. So somebody was telling me a word that they gave for their ministry this year, and I listened to it, and I said, that word is right. They was discouraged about a word God gave them, and I said, that word is right. And I unwrapped the whole theme for the year, brought them right back to the starting point to where they could be strong in the word that God gave them, because it is a prophetic word. And I said, if y'all church don't want it, I add it to what we got over here because we could use some of that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because if you'll stick with the instructions, you can survive all those attacks. It's not going to stop your word. Say, my word cannot be stopped by demonic attack. Say, it's going to happen in accordance to my obedience to what God has said. Say, the power is in that word. If I'll keep the word, I'll maintain the power. The devil won't strip you of your peace, your joy, your happiness. You will get exactly to where God wants you to go, but you got to start with the word of God. Now, I got to go somewhere because my time is about up, and I don't want y'all late for y'all little games. When you receive a prophetic instruction from God, you got to move quick. Look at me. When you get a word from God, you can't think about it. You don't have time to pray about it. Like, let me go home and pray about it. By the time that you get home, Sister Sanders, the devil gonna be done change your mind. If you wait till tomorrow, you're not gonna do it. When God give you a word, you don't have time to be running it by nobody. Do you know what I had to tell people? This was a few months back. Maybe it'd been a year or so. But I had to tell people to tell your parents to stay out of my business. I don't care if they pastors or not. They're not your pastor. Because they're messing up your prophetic instructions. I don't care what they've done. You're not sitting up under them. They messing up. The devil is using them to seduce you out of a word because they heard it. And it didn't agree with their spirit. But they're not your pastor. It wasn't supposed to agree with their spirit. And they talking you out of a word that God gave you when God has already told you what to do and you knew he told you what to do, but you had to run it by somebody. When you get a word from God, how long are you supposed to wait? You got to move on it exactly when you get it. Because the truth of it is, if they was able to fix you, why didn't God just leave you there? If they was doing that much in your life, why God move you? He moved you because somebody else had the ability to impart in your life at a level that they couldn't. And your job is to what? To receive the word of the Lord. Receive the word of the Lord. Receive the word of the Lord. Even if it ain't your mom and daddy, receive the word of the Lord. Even if it ain't your last pastor, receive the word of the Lord. Because your current word is the word that's going to get you the breakthrough. Some of you working off an old script. God had to give you a new word because they gave you a word and you never did that word. But if you'll do this word, tell somebody to say, this word is going to work for you. Tell your parents to mind their own business. I don't care how long they've been saved. That sounds ugly, don't it? If they were mature enough, they would already know this. What did your pastor tell you? What did the woman of God tell you? So you don't know. So you don't know what they told you. Go back and ask them. Do you know what I won't do? I won't interpret other people's prophetic words for you. If they gave it to you, you go to them. You go sit and ask them what they got from the Lord for you, because I'm not going to decipher it for you. What they mean, ask them or ask the Lord, don't ask me. Do the word that I said that God gave you, and then I may or may not do it, but at least I know there's something that you're working on is current. Say, this season is for me to get complete victory. When you delay the word, blessings are dropping through the cracks. Yeah. When you delay doing the word, it's sliding right through your fingers. Fingers have to be active, not lifeless. Your hands got to be doing the work of the word. A lifeless hand, let the word slide through your fingers. 2 Kings 13. 2 Kings 13. Tell somebody, don't just hold the word. Don't just hear the word. Act on it. And the way people let the word get away from a mother is by doing nothing. They're going to pray about it. They're going to think about it. They're going to run it by a bunch of people who really don't care if you win or lose. And they're not going to do nothing for you. When are you supposed to act on the word? Immediately when you get it, you don't think about it, you just do it. 2 Kings 13, you see Elisha. I'm going to have to stop, man. I wanted to show you how the word that he gave us this year. I don't want to waste it, though. Can I just stop right there? I'll pick back up there. Say, hold the word. Act on the word. This ain't no season to be sitting back doing a whole bunch of nothing. You got to be active. When you hear something and you get instructions on do something, you got to do it right then. Do you know it's interesting? I heard Elder Jackson say this a few weeks back. And he was right. Bishop was exactly like that. If I've heard that one time, I've heard that 100 times. That he would always say, when God give you something, exactly. He hit it right at the park. He say, you do it right then. You don't wait on it. You don't need no 55 confirmations. Are you born again or not? If you're born again, you can hear from God. You already know what he wants. You do it right then. What typically happens when you won't do it is God will let somebody perform it in your face. And you see them getting what was yours. He'll let you see somebody doing exactly what you refuse to do. And he'll let you see them get the reward, too. Because that was yours. And this season, I don't want to say this year, because sometimes stuff go over into the next year or a few years. That as you become obedient to the words that God was sending to you, you'll see almost immediate turnarounds. You'll see chaotic situations go to immediate peace. You're going to see failures go to extreme success periods, turn into success stories, because now God is involved. You'll see stuff that looked lifeless. It was lifeless because you had it on hard ground, but now that your heart is being softened up today, pick the seed up off the hard ground, put it in your soul, palatable spirit, and see don't it still bloom and grow. Say, God does not change. I see where the word fell. I'm going to put it in my heart. Say, God does not lie. The same word he gave me, if I could find that seed, I can put it back in me and it'll turn into a blessing. Get ready for your breakthroughs and blessings. Because I feel like this word is penetrating somebody's spirit today. I feel like you're receiving from the Lord today. I feel like your heart is open in this place to understand. I don't even feel, a lot of time I can feel you being defensive. But for whatever reason, you know this is God talking to you. And God ain't done with you yet. You can still be blessed if you want to. He'll create another opportunity for you. He'll open another door. He'll make a way out of no way. He'll cut a way where there is no way to make a way so that you will have a way. That's what God is going to do for some of you. There's nothing there right now, but God going to show you what he can do for you. Do you receive that on today? Stand up and we'll finish on next week. We got to get out of here. Because if some of y'all miss the Super Bowl, you're going to just have a meltdown. This year is different for you. This year has been designed to be different for you. Stay on track. Are you listening to me? This year has been ordained by God to do incredible stuff for you. Stay on track with God. Keep your ears attentive to what the Lord is saying. Don't listen to everybody. Because some of them people ain't preaching to you. They have no invested interest whether you get it or not. Keep your ears attentive to what God is saying. And when you hear God, when are you supposed to act on it? Immediately. There are times, you know, I'm all for people running things by your spouse. There's some things you just need to do. Because they're not your God. If you know you done heard from the Lord, you don't need them to co-sign. You just do it. And if it's really from God, it's going to turn into something positive. They're going to be happy anyway. I say they're going to be happy anyway. Because a lot of times, he gave you the word, brother. They saw the difficulty and the danger in the word. They saw how hard the word was going to be. That don't mean that it wasn't your word. They didn't see how it was gonna that it was gonna take away from them initially, not realizing how that it was gonna bless y'all eternally and going forward. Sometimes you just got to do it. Lift your hands to the Lord. Ask the Lord to empower you to act this year. Ask the Lord, we're not going to have no long altar call or no altar call. This is your altar call. Ask the Lord to help you to act this year. To be that.